From the good life in Lincoln, Nebraska, this is the Stop Chasing, Start Living show, where together we dig into the world of faith and finances to discover how God wants so much more for us than we could ever ask or imagine. I'm your host, Scott Ernstmeyer, so let's start living. I'd like to welcome our listeners back. For those of you that maybe haven't been a part of our show before, my name is Scott Ernstmeyer. I serve as the host for Stop Chasing, Start Living. And if you had a chance to join us last time, we had a great conversation with Tracy Edgerton. She's the president and CEO of the Lincoln Community Foundation. Just really dug into the topic of community and how people together can really serve the needs of a community, especially when it comes to funding projects and coming alongside some of the stronger needs within a community. And so just really appreciated that. If you didn't get a chance to catch that particular episode, I really encourage you. There's some really good tidbits in there. But today, I'm really excited to jump into a topic that I think everybody can relate to. You know, the challenges we face today, the chaos, overscheduled days, just a lot of whirlwinds that we all live in each and every day. And sometimes you ask yourself, am I doing enough? Am I enough? Am I really utilizing what God has given me each and every day? And so super excited to have Pastor Joan Kunze from our church here at Messiah, our senior pastor. He's been on the show before, so he's officially considered a returning guest. Last time we had a chance to dig into the heart and how God really wants really a healthy heart for us and how that really impacts so many other areas of our lives. And I think today there's a little bit of connection to that very thing, healthy hearts and what happens when we are in a good place there. And I would say as we get up to speed in this space, sometimes we can have unhealthy balance in our lives. And when we have unhealthy balance, especially with our schedules, especially with the things that we've got going on, we don't get a chance to maybe be everything that God calls us to be. There's things that are getting in the way of us maybe being the fullness of what God has intended for us. And so today, that's what Pastor John and I are going to talk through. John, welcome back to the show today. Might do a real quick reset about your role here and why you love doing what you do.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Scott. It's great to be back. I love this this venue and being able to talk about things that are really important to our hearts. And so today's topic is of great interest to me. And I've served here at Messiah for 25 years, and so almost 30 years of ministry next year, total ministry. But I've had the privilege of just being a part of this amazing family at Messiah. Yeah. I've seen so many wonderful things, so many challenges. We're in the midst of it all the time. That's sure, life, right? Sure. And I think pertinent to the topic, it's busy.
Yep.
And that's not going to slow down this side of heaven.
Right.
And so how we handle that's really going to be important. And so anyway, even my own personal life, my kids are out of the house, so we're empty nesters now, but now we have a grandson, and
you fill the time, don't you?
My conversation with people who are, and as we say at Messiah, we don't retire, we repurpose. Mm-hmm. But when I talk to people in that stage of life, they're like, "I'm busier now than I was when I was earning a paycheck," you know. And so I was listening to that, and I kind of scratched my head, going, "Well, that's not going to be me."
Yeah.
And that is so going to be me if I don't, make an intentional effort to guide and direct that, now, not waiting till then.
Yeah. Build healthy rhythms now.
Right, right. And I think rhythms is a perfect word that ushers us into, if God says, "I have created you for so much," how much do we miss because of the frenetic pace that we zoom past things and instead of living life at the pace of Jesus, we live life at the pace of whatever, prosperity or whatever it is.
Yep.
And I believe we get exhausted for the wrong reasons. I tell people this, and I mean it, and I know we're kind of diving in already, but I tell people, I want to slide across home plate dirty and tired when Jesus calls me home, but not dirty and tired because I've chased everything in this world that the world says I should be chasing. I want to be tired. I want to be exhausted in a good way where I feel like, hey, I've done all I can to serve. I've done all I can to live into who God has created me to be.
Right.
And even that needs boundaries, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah, even that,
especially when you serve in ministry,
right? Even a good thing, you can go too far, and then it's, you know, the saying out there, it's good until it's not,
right?
Well, I think that comes back to the rhythm statement. God created us for rhythm, and if we can identify what that is out of Scripture, right, and we can be disciples, followers of Jesus, live at the pace of Jesus, that rhythm will allow us to stay energized. Truly fulfilled, moving forward, and yet I say exhausted, and that's often a negative term, but I mean, in other words, I've used it all.
Fully spent.
Yeah, you know, you played basketball. Did you leave it all on the court?
Right.
And at the end of that game, when you left it all on the court, you're like, man, I feel good, but I'm tired. Well, I want to, again, the metaphor I use, I didn't play baseball, my son did, but sliding across home plate when Jesus calls me home, I want to say I left it all on the field. And I'm tired, but a good tired, a fulfilling tired. Yeah. So anyway, that's kind of...
Well, there you go, everybody. The shortest show we've had so far. I think we've done it all.
I hear you.
We actually wanted to add a disclaimer to this particular show. There's two people sitting across from each other who maybe don't always find the healthiest rhythms with time and spending it. And I think that's true of all of us. So if you haven't picked up on it by now, really the core theme of our conversation today is around the stewardship of every minute of every day. We talk about stewardship from a lot of different directions. God provides us with all that we have. That includes our resources financially and the things around us in this world. It also includes our intellectual resources. Mm-hmm. So when we deploy for doing our vocations, our work, or even how we utilize that intelligence in other ways, that's a stewardship. But it is also very true that there's a very real stewardship to our time. And I think it's something that everybody has struggled with at some point or another, which is why I think this particular topic is so accessible today. And John and I just both want to confess that we're not necessarily the best practitioners of this. No. But life is about the process. It's not about perfection. And so it's continuing to understand where our blind spots are and trying to work towards a better version of us.
Yeah, absolutely. You stole my words. I was going to say progress, not perfection. Mm-hmm. And that is, and I just want to, for everybody listening there is a lot of guilt associated with this topic. There's a ton of guilt.
Oh my goodness.
And we live in grace, not in guilt. Mm-hmm. And God is at work and molding us, shaping us as his children. And so we need to understand that grace so that Satan doesn't discourage us. You know, guilt's a good thing because it gets our attention, but he wants to turn it into shame. I'm never going to be enough. Yep. I'll never be able to find those rhythms. I'll never be able to live out all that God has in store for me. And that's simply not true because God is God and we are not, and he's going to lead us in that direction. Amen. But I think that guilt thing, we got to just address it because I said it in a message that I preached not too long ago. As I started, it was on this very topic. I said, I'm a hypocrite. I'm up here preaching it, and I wish I could say I'm living it.
All I do is feel guilty right now.
Right. You know, but that's so true that every one of us, again, the side of heaven, we need Jesus. We need to look at our Savior, again, be a disciple, a follower, and emulate him and emulate his rhythms. But he brings us back to the cross every time to say, you won't do it perfectly. You can't do it perfectly. But progress, not perfection. Mm-hmm. And as you do that, I think another really big thing in this, Scott, is to say why. There's two, I think, in my opinion, two important whys. One, I need to be healthy. And living in rhythms helps me be healthy as an individual. But it also means a healthy witness. Because if life is about getting more people to know Jesus, and I'm just following the frenetic pace of the world... Mm-hmm. We opened up our staff meeting today, reading the parable of the sower. I'm going to be so busy. I won't take time to scatter seeds.
Right.
And so I think this is really important for kingdom growth, that resource that God gives us. And it's also important for individual growth because your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit.
It is.
You're God's creation.
And we are God's hands and feet on this earth. So if we don't wisely use the time we have than,
right.
than who will. And so
right.
We've been blessed as a leadership team here, as have a number of other area ministries throughout the state of Nebraska, to be mentored and led and taught by Stan Parker, who one of his passions in life, he's just passionate about helping people become the best version of their leadership team and ministry as they can possibly be. And I had a chance, part of the reason I really wanted to hit this topic through this podcast is because I had a chance to participate in some training that he had about a month ago. And it was all around personal productivity and like essentially how do you deploy yourself the most efficiently as you can in your ministry role. He started out with this quote, and I want to read it out loud again. I wrote it down word for word, and I just want to hear maybe your response to this or let you kind of resonate and unpack this quote. He says, as it comes to our use of time, he says, my history and my legacy will be made up of a lifetime of today's. So what am I doing with it? That hit me like a brick when he said that out loud. I'm going to read that again. My history and my legacy will be made up of a lifetime of today's.
Yeah.
So what am I doing with it?
How powerful is that? I love it. That what it immediately reminded me of is the old saying that, you know, tomorrow is the future, yesterday is the past, and today is a gift. Mm. That's why they call it the present. Mm-hmm. You know, and so each day, and I again, I love Stan, and he has been such a blessing to us as a ministry, to me individually, personally. But I believe what he's getting at there and what he pours his heart into, and I believe what we pour our hearts into at the ministry here at Messiah is helping people realize today is important. Mm-hmm. You know, we get into this idea that everything is about tomorrow. I mean, you know, you sit down with your financial advisor and you look at your portfolio and you say, hey, how is this going to impact my retirement? What is this going to mean for my investments? Very important questions. Mm-hmm. And I think God has given us the ability to plan. That's great.
Yep.
But if that doesn't allow you to look into the moment, I sat down with another great friend and mentor, Justin Hanneman, who you've had on the show.
Yeah.
And he challenged me, and this is kind of getting to where Stan is at too. Justin, and after talking with me, I was looking for my own personal growth. He's a tremendous counselor. And he said, John, one of the things that's really clear is you're either 3 months out ahead of yourself trying to knock down any barriers that might be coming, or you're 3 months behind yourself beating yourself up for mistakes that you've made. He said, you are rarely present. Mm. You're rarely in the moment where you're integrated. Yep. In other words, you're truly living in the moment. And what that was preventing in me was in relationships, even at home, of not being present, not being in the conversation, not being interested in what's happening in the moment, because I'm always thinking either future or regretting the past and some, not always regrets, but looking back. But the point is, and I think that quote from Stan is basically saying, God has given you today, and in his word, in Psalm 119, he says, my word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. He doesn't light up three hills ahead,
right?
He's not saying, I'm going to show you what's going to happen in the next 4 or 5 months, a year, or whatever. He goes, I'm going to light the path right in front of your
feet. Right where you are.
This is where I need you to focus. Mm. Because you don't know when life's going to twist or turn.
Yeah.
You don't have any idea. I can't tell you what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. But I can say God has placed us right here, right now, in this podcast right now. Mm-hmm. And as we speak, to be fully present and say, that's where God wants me right now.
Right.
It's the best use of my time.
And leaning into this moment in this time, our prayer is that it only takes one person to hear this and be impacted in a positive way to feel like you've played a role
Correct.
In God's ultimate design,
which is
pretty powerful. And I, you know, you think about God's word, you just brought that up in terms of the reference to Psalms. And there's a lot of places you could go with stewardship and what that all means. And especially with our time in the Bible, there's a couple passages I looked up that I felt like to me kind of hit some things. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 read, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. And then 1 Corinthians 10, the second half of verse 13 says, whatever you do, do everything for the glory of the Lord. When you really think about the decisions you make with the time that you spend, I use the phrase that every minute you have a chance to spend one time. But once you spend that minute, it's gone. You can't re-spend it. Can't get it over. There's no do-overs.
Right.
It's now in the past. And might unpack a little bit about from your perspective about like just how you think God positions time and the stewardship of us within Scripture.
You know, I love that God built this thing called time. He in the days of creation created time, and he said, I want you to use this time in a way, be good stewards. I mean, at first, the first command of our very first parents was to tend the garden. Mm-hmm. The very first thing he had them do was rest. So God says, I have a rhythm for you and I have time, and I want to lay this out for you so that you see each day as a gift. I've known, and you've probably seen this too, Scott, that just in the financial world, I've seen some very, very downcast people who are so focused on tomorrow, so focused on saving up for something, and maybe it was a cush retirement or something.
In some ways, maybe not even a defined something.
It may be, exactly.
Saving.
But it's so out there focused that they were miserable in the moment. Mm-hmm. And so in those passages you read, I believe God is telling us, hey, listen, your tomorrow isn't guaranteed. Mm. In fact, Scripture says that. You can't say whether you're going to go here or go there tomorrow.
Right.
You know, make the most of today, because right now, again, like you said, maybe somebody's listening to this that it changes them, helps minister to them in a certain way. Or maybe your interaction with somebody at a store or in your home or at work, God says, I need you to have your antenna up for today, because this thing called time, God is the God of time. Mm. And so we have to allow him to mold, shape, guide, and direct us.
Right.
But if we aren't slowing down enough to let Jesus truly invade our heart, capture, you know, have him sitting on the throne by himself, then we're going to start pursuing, chasing after a lot of different things.
And if we don't believe in the depth of our hearts that that's a strategy of Satan trying to distract us from what God intends for us, golly, just look around at everything going on. I mean, I hope there's some young parents on this podcast today that are listening, because, I've lived that. Like, you can overschedule your family, you can overschedule your life, and you end up, like you said earlier, part of what we get a chance to do is hopefully model to others around us about what good stewardship of time is. And oftentimes, as parents, we're terrible at it.
We're terrible with
our own kids.
My confession was when our son Taylor started playing baseball. He was playing for the Salt Dogs Junior League. And they had a reasonable schedule, reasonable practices, things like that. And Beth and I were like, nope, he's not going to play select ball. I mean, that's not it, because they're all weekend, they're this. Yeah, we gave in because everybody was doing it. Yeah. But so here's the thing. It wasn't because we were like, oh, our son's going to go play at the next level. Of course he could have. I mean, he would have. No, every parent thinks so. No, but
he's going to make money someday.
Yeah, because all of his friends were. Mm-hmm. And so it's a tribal thing. Everybody was doing it.
Yeah.
And so it took up our weekends. Of course, I couldn't go. I had responsibilities on Sunday, and Beth would drive him around. But it is Satan's, one of his chief weapons. In fact, one of the books that we've talked about a lot, and I think we would strongly encourage, is John Mark Comer, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry.
Yep.
And I let me read this quote. Because I believe what he's getting at is what Satan's tactic is here. And this is just, he quotes John Ortberg also. Yep. So it's a quote within a quote. But what Comer says, he goes, we are distracting ourselves into spiritual oblivion. And then he quotes Ortberg. For many of us, the great danger is not that we will renounce our faith. It is that we will become so distracted and rushed and preoccupied that we will settle for a mediocre version of it. We will just skim our lives instead of actually living them. I thought that was so powerful.
Yeah.
So Satan's like, no, I'll let you have your faith.
Yeah.
It's like the Screwtape Letters. I'll let you be the Christian. I'll let you go to church on Sunday, but I'll make the rest of your life so frenetic, so hurried that you'll just skim the surface of life.
You won't have enough time to really even know what that means.
Right.
You kind of talked a little bit about just slowing down enough to let Jesus work in our hearts. There's just a lot of, even in that, to unpack. And one of the other stories, I've heard this two or three different places, but in Comer's book, he actually references this story too. I think it's powerful. This is the story. It's pretty short. At the height of the British colonialism, an English traveler lands in Africa, intent on a rapid journey into the jungle. Charters some local porters to carry his supplies, and after an exhausting day of travel, all on foot, an unfitful night's sleep, he gets up to continue the journey, but the porters refuse. Exasperated, he begins to cajole, bribe, plead. Nothing works. They won't move an inch, and naturally he asks why. Their answer? They're waiting for their souls to catch up with their bodies. This whole concept that they were moving at such a fast pace.
Yeah.
Like they needed to pause enough to let the rest of them catch up. And I just love that picture because I think that is Satan's strategy in a nutshell.
Yeah.
He gets us so wound up and so spun up. And I think that's where even getting in, and we'll get into some of the things that he talks about in terms of importance, in terms of hearing, like being with God and hearing God and hearing God's voice in your life. When you get into the whole idea of pace, I think about, well, yeah, we're super distracted today. We've got cell phones, we got binge watching TV, we got, sports up the wazoo, we got kids running around and all their stuff. What was it like 100 years ago? Like, pace was maybe a little different.
Mm-hmm.
But what were their distractions back then? Because they certainly had some too.
Everybody does. No, I think you're absolutely right. But again, if we take Jesus at his word, which we do, in Matthew 24, he talks about as that time approaches for him to return, things will get worse. Mm-hmm. So you're right. Every generation since the fall has had their distractions, their frenetic pace, their whatever it is. Satan's used the same tactics, package them a little differently. But I think what we, again, coming back to what we said earlier, we have to focus what. It's fun to look back. What was it like 100 years ago? I can look back in my lifetime, back when Sunday's stores were closed.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday nights were sacred. They were church nights. There was no sports. There was no after school events.
Right.
I mean, there was just a lot of these things that are not true today. And so even in, our limited experience, things have changed. But what's going on today? This is not going to be rocket science for anybody out there. We look at busyness as a badge of bravery, of success, of validation.
Right.
And it, even if it's not productive, if I'm busy, I feel like I'm accomplishing something. I feel fulfilled. Right. I feel all these things. But again, going back to the quote that I shared from Comer, he's like, we're going to get ourselves into mediocrity and it's going to be a life that's lived in a thin place, not in depth, but a thin place.
Right.
And I believe that is, if there's one thing out there that I believe, and I've said it already, is following Jesus' disciples means trying to live at the best we can at the pace of Jesus. And you have to look at him and go, how Jesus, did you approach the distractions of your day? Because he was distracted. Oh, it wasn't social media. But it was in person.
It was the crowds. It was the press of people wanting his attention.
It was, it was crazy. Even in the parable we heard today, he had to get in a boat, to get offshore. I mean, the people were pressing against him everywhere he went. And he'd get away to pray. He'd get away for solitude. He would get together just with the three, Peter, James, and John. And he'd get together with the 12. And then he'd get together with the families. I mean, he had all of these friend groups and disciple groups, and Jesus spent intentional time with them, but he never took his mind off of the work. He didn't look to retirement. He didn't look to, I need a time in my life when I'm not working.
Right.
It's just the work has to be paced so that you have moments of rest. Yep. You have moments of rejuvenation, but then you have moments where you're like, wow, God, you're doing amazing things. Yep. But it requires us again, as you said, to come back and say, what's happening today? And today, I include this in a sermon not too long ago that, you know, the whole idea today, slow is almost as pejorative to people. It's like the examples I gave, if a car in front of you is driving below the speed limit, you get frustrated. Mm-hmm. If you're in a restaurant and the food comes out, takes forever, that's bad service. It's like all of the slowness, even at a restaurant, Beth and I were at a restaurant the other day, and what's the favorite thing? The waiter comes up and says, you still working on that? I'm like, I was eating. I'm not working. I'm eating. But the point is, aren't you done yet? I mean, you know, they're trying to be nice. But the point is that we don't like slow. Mm-hmm. We praise quick, fast. Again, that frenetic schedule. And I think we have to pull back and say, what does God want for us?
And I think kind of one of the places I wanted to go today with the show is, and I appreciated the breakdown that Stan Parker shared with our group. He went down the road of like, let's lay out your week. Mm-hmm. Hopefully this math is accurate. I just wrote down what he said, so I haven't actually done the math on it. But if a standard work week is 40 hours, and if you sleep about 7 hours a night, so you have 40 hours a week, 49 hours of sleep, takes about 42 hours for the average person to to do their normal grooming, eating, recreation, just kind of the normal rhythms of life. Mm-hmm. What he was challenging is that there's still 37 hours in a week with all that other stuff you're doing. There's still 37 hours in a week. Because the 42 hours, that's 6 hours a day to do the eating, the grooming, the recreation.
Right.
There's still 37 hours left over in a week to make choices about what it is that you're doing.
And if my show on TV has 8 seasons right. with 8 things, there we go. I can binge a whole week.
You know, the whole idea of the bend of personal productivity mm-hmm. is that if you don't make some goals, if you right. don't strategize about your time, if you don't prioritize some things,
right.
then you just kind of get pulled with the way the waves are going on that particular day. You know, whether that's in your job where it's like, we mm-hmm. all know you can fill your day up, quote, doing and mm-hmm. racing mm-hmm. and doing, but are you doing the right work? And that was kind of what I wanted to focus on personally. It's like, am I maximizing and doing the things that are going to be the most important thing for me to be the most important in my role, you know, serving people in ministry. But when you get to that space of like the choice of those 37 hours, you know, one of the things he was leaning into is like, what choices are you making about your body physically, taking care of it?
Right.
What are you doing to control your stress and finding ways to decompress? What are you doing about your marriage? What are you doing to plan, strategize, and spend time around your finances? Oh, and by the way, part of that time should probably be about growing your faith and investing in who you are as a Christian and your relationship with Jesus. And it's like the people that I think I find fascinating because I'm just not always able to get into this space are the people and some would maybe say they're even over rigid in terms of how they plan all that stuff out. Mm-hmm. But you can see example after example of the people that they're very successful, healthy, and productive because they've said, you know what? I have a goal in every one of those areas.
Right.
And I'm going to make every use that I can out of those 37 hours.
So what you're saying, Scott, and I appreciate this because our talking about governing yourself can become selfish.
100%.
I can do it so I can be healthy. But that's why I said there's two whys. Mm-hmm. One of them is so that you can be healthy and therefore available for the second why. Mm-hmm. And the second why is, how can I be productive?
Be used.
And so Stan would challenge us with the term he uses as an ideal week. Mm-hmm. What does your ideal week look like? What are you on? The terminology I use is when I'm on stage. And I don't mean that in a play. I mean, like where I'm in front of people, I've got Bible studies, worship, you name it. If I'm backstage, meaning I'm working on things, maybe in my office doing sermon prep, things like that. Or when I'm off stage, meaning that's my day off or something like that. And so if I'm looking at my ideal week, if I don't have a heart driven by what my faith in Jesus means to me, then my goals will become very selfish. Mm-hmm. They will become very self-centered in many different ways. If I have a kingdom view and I say, okay, God, you've put me on this earth for a reason, I want to be healthy and available for that reason. So I have to have some healthy rhythms in my life to keep me healthy. But then I also want to know that the strategy, you're talking about those people, like maybe the A types out there that, man, every moment is accounted for. Not everybody's going to be that way.
For sure.
But what we can learn, though, is to say, if I, you know, the old adage is, if you aim at nothing, you're bound to hit it.
Yep.
It's like, okay, so if I have some goals, my goal this week is to be in the Word daily. It is to be in a Bible study weekly. It is to be in conversations daily. It is, you know, and what are those? What are those? It's not, yes, it's with my wife and with my kids or coworkers, but am I intentionally having conversations with people who don't know Jesus yet? Am I influencing people around me in a way that, like that, that would bring glory to God and grow his kingdom? So I think the conversation about how are you putting your ideal week together really has to result in what we said earlier, sliding across home plate, going, God, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. Yeah, well done. And again, not to our glory.
Right.
But because Jesus said, follow me. He didn't say it's a suggestion. He said, if you're my disciple, you will pick up your cross and follow me. And so one of the things that I think I would love for people to dig into, and we don't have time to dig deeply into it in our time here, but is the whole idea of Sabbath rhythm in their life. A great author, Peter Scazzaro, he wrote a book called The Emotionally Healthy Leader. And what I love about it, for people who lead teams, the whole second half of the book is all about how you do this with teams. So if you're not even in the workforce, you could take the whole first half of the book and it's all about spiritual rhythms in your life. It's almost like it needs to be two books. Mm-hmm. One's on teams and one's on personal. And that's the way he designed it. But he has chapters in there about what does it mean to practice what Scripture lays out as good Sabbath rhythms that allow us to be healthy. And the whole purpose that we're doing that is so that we can serve our Lord Jesus Christ and so that we can grow his kingdom. We'll have eternity in heaven to relax, I guess. You know, we'll still work the garden. I think there will still be stuff for us to do in heaven, but it's going to be joyful. But here, there are people every day that are dying that don't know Jesus. And so I would love for anyone listening, if you're like, what do I do? I mean, Scazzaro just simply says four words about Sabbath rhythm. It's stopping, it's resting, it's delighting, and it's contemplating. Hmm. Now, again, we don't have time to go into each of those really in depth.
Right.
But it is a rhythm God put in place that says, this is how I want you to operate. Hmm. So that, and that's so important, so that as my disciple, God can say, you can join me doing some amazing work of redemption in this world. Right. So
that's hard. Pretty cool.
But Satan knows that. So that's where he, as you said earlier, his technique is, he goes, if I can't make them bad, I'll make them busy.
Right.
And I will just busy them to death. And the death may not be the physical, it could be, but it could definitely be the spiritual, where we get so distracted, so lost in a schedule that's out of control.
Yeah. And I think the cool part about the symmetry there for that book that we already referenced about the ruthless elimination of hurry, John Mark Comer, one of his strategies was specifically in that space of Sabbath, you know, and so that's reinforced there. I think one of the things that has spoken to me after I read that book, and I think the times where I feel the most connection with God and his voice in my life is the idea of actually having some silence and solitude.
Yes.
Again, Jesus' example of, you know, being away by himself to have a conversation with the Father. For the people that really, really are continuing to dig and grow in the Word and that kind of stuff, they're building a rhythm in their life where they have a quiet time with God, where they it can take whatever structure it needs to for the person. For some, it's listening to, you know, maybe a Christian song. For others, it's reading a very specific part of Scripture. For others, it's maybe just time very specifically to pray and listen. And I think our brains are so wired to continue to just take in information.
Right.
I encourage everybody to try this tomorrow morning before you do anything else. Try to sit in silence for 5 minutes. minutes and just ask God what he wants to tell you.
Yeah.
Lord, what are you tapping me on the shoulder for? Like what's
today hold?
What's in front of me?
Yeah.
What maybe should I be thinking about? Yep. And I think that's where the idea of these rhythms and getting into this place where you can have a really healthy heart. If you don't take the time for Sabbath to literally recharge and be refueled,
right?
If you don't take time to pause and actually listen to God,
yeah,
you're listening to something.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Something.
You either listen to the world or you're listening to God. Yep. So if you don't take those times to find that silence, that solitude, and you already mentioned the idea of slowing, like the whole concept of actually, so for me, I'm the raging driver. Like, and my Sarah's always like, would you stop driving like this in front of the children? Like, what kind of example are you? You know, cause I
like physically like, driving a car.
Oh, yeah, that too. You know, and so that whole idea of like, can you even reprogram yourself to a different rhythm where it's like, I'm okay standing in line at the store because maybe I can pray to God quietly in my mind while I'm waiting the 3 extra minutes to get through the line.
I love that word, reprogram. Mm-hmm. I think that's absolutely what's needed. We've allowed, and so something Beth and I tried just the other day, and this was brought to our attention, and it, and we're being held accountable to this. How often when we get in the car do we turn on the radio and not talk?
Sarah turns on the radio because I'll start whistling. But anyway, keep going with your story.
But I mean, so like we happened to be driving to Omaha the next day after we had this conversation. And so we're like, you know what? We should take advantage of that 45 minutes to an hour to talk. And so we tried it and it was beautiful. We had both on the way up and on the way back. But even in the car by myself, I am so programmed. I turn on the radio. It's whether it's news, music,
fill
whatever.
Your mind of something.
We're always letting the noise crowd out the faith. Mm. And now I take that back though some, because again, we can listen to great Christian music and so, but we can even overdo it with that. I could put on Christian music in the car every time Beth and I are in it, and we could never have a conversation and we could pat ourselves on the back for listening to Christian music, but never do anything for our relationship.
Right.
I think we have to reprogram ourselves. I love that. And I would suggest getting a resource. Again, John Mark Comer's book, Bright Orange, he's a great writer. It's entertaining. It's thought provoking. It's humorous. It's all these things.
And he has some extremes that I don't necessarily agree with. You know, he ratcheted some simplicity down to 2 or 3 outfits that he only ever wears 2 or 3 things. I'm not saying it's the wrong thing to do, but it ain't the me thing to do. But
John, he's not God. He's just saying this is how he does it.
It's what has worked for him.
I put it next to Dave Ramsey. I love Dave Ramsey's stuff with Financial Peace, but I don't listen to every single thing he does.
Yep.
But I can take the best things from there and make it work. And I think for John Mark Comer, the biggest hurdle when I read it the first time was guilt. Mm. Because I'm like, I can't do that.
Yep.
But I have to reread it and go, wait a minute. No, I can do parts of that. Mm-hmm. And I need to start working and have a goal, start applying it. And as we started this podcast off with, I am still not there.
Right.
But I think I'm better than I was a year ago and a year before that and a year before that. And that's progress. Mm-hmm. It's not perfection.
For any of us as parents that have recently walked their children down the aisle or have launched your kid to college or, you know, whatever those maybe life phases are at. This whole topic gets really real as a parent. It's like, was I always fully present with my children?
Yeah.
Did I take the time, literally the time to teach them everything I want them to know about life?
Yeah.
When you think about your relationship with your spouse, am I fully present with my spouse? Have I created and have we agreed upon together some goals for our relationship that are healthy and allow us to be the best version of ourselves individually together as a couple, and then what God wants for us into the community? Or have we fallen into some unhealthy ruts where it's just, and this is my confession, 100%. I'm tired. I get home and I just want to sit in front of the TV and veg for a couple hours. You know, some of that's okay, but getting sucked into that all the time, those 37 hours just got gobbled up by stuff that I probably didn't need.
A lot of what's on TV is not worth it anyway. But
that's true.
Taking some time to relax, there's nothing wrong with that. And that's what I love. If you read Scazzaro, Peter Scazzaro, he's like, Sabbath isn't holding a Bible in your hands with a halo over your head and praying the entire day. It's enjoying. It's delighting. Yeah. It's just it
leaning becomes into a favorite the joys day. That God yeah. wants for you in life.
Yeah. Now, how are we doing on time?
We probably need to start landing the plane.
Let me just share one quick story, and this is very real. And as you were saying, Scott, a moment ago, as you launch kids, this is about me being launched, not about me launching kids. So my dad, and some of you know the story, my dad's was a pastor. He's in heaven now. But I grew up in a pastor's home, and I never knew my dad growing up. He took us to school. We had a church school setting, like Messiah. Took us to school. I'd see him home for dinner for an hour, and then he was at meetings every single night. We didn't throw the baseball. We didn't throw the football. Every once in a while, we'd fish or something like that if he had a time off. Or if we went on a vacation, we'd have some times. But it was about 10 years before he died, I'm an adult at that point, that he finally got it. And he was a lovely man. My dad was a wonderful pastor and would do anything for anyone. But he let that vocation become like a mistress, it was so busy, so busy doing this. Right. So he wasn't pouring into me and my brothers, and he regretted that. Now, he died without regrets. We had about 10 years to be able to just talk through a lot of stuff. And he made me promise, and here's where I'm going with this. He said, John, as you become a pastor, because I was on my way, he was in heaven before I was ordained. But he said, please don't do to your family what I did to you. And he got it. And he said, I want you to be better. I want you to be there for your kids. You're a husband first, a father second, a pastor comes below those things. It is so easy to get lost in a schedule. It is so easy, even doing the right things. My dad was pastoring people.
Right.
But he wasn't investing in the right things all the time. And I grew up, I was very rebellious. There's a reason that PKs get bad raps. I was doing my best to advocate for all the getting into trouble, doing things I shouldn't do, lots of regrets in my life for it. God has a good sense of humor. He made me a pastor now. But I asked that question to my kids recently, and I said, was I there for you? And their response blew me away because I didn't feel like I was.
Yeah.
And they were like, Dad, you were there for everything. And I'm like, holy smokes.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I did it perfect, but I learned from watching my dad. I learned from his words to me to make a promise. And above all of that, we have a Savior who says, let me show you how to live because I have so much for you. So many blessings, so much fulfillment, so much depth. I don't want you to be a stone skipping across the surface. I have depth. Starts in the water of holy baptism, but I have depth. I want you to be a scuba diver, deep dive with me. And so it's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible. But it takes a day at a time.
It does. And it requires a person to say, this is important enough for me to, first of all, recognize I've got an issue. Second, say, I want to be better and here's my new goal.
Yep.
And then third, start building on some strategies and some changes in your life so that you give the space for there to be a chance for those things to take hold. And as we bring this to a close, I guess my challenge for our listeners and for myself in this case is, do you feel like you're in control and in command of your time? Or does your time control you?
Yeah.
Do the things in your life control your time? And the real question is what does Jesus want for you in your heart when it comes to your rhythms, your time, and those types of things? Because if we're not being intentional about our hearts and what the influences of the world is doing to our heart, we're going to be in this space where it's kind of free reign for Satan to do what he wants.
Absolutely.
And so whether the motivation is to become a better parent, maybe the motivation is to become a better father to your children, mother to your daughter or son, it's to become a better spouse. I hope it starts with, I want to be more available to conversations with God.
Yes.
So that he can speak to me about maybe what I need. The Spirit will work in your heart. The Spirit will give you direction if you give space for the Spirit to work. And so what might be your motivation in this? Take it one step at a time. Set that next goal. If I've often heard it said, Millionaires aren't millionaires just because they got lucky. They actually take some time to think about their finances and plan and do other things. Most of us just try to get the bills paid. And so, you know, whatever that next goal might be in terms of investing your time and making sure that you are fully present and available to God's calling and all those things, because at the end of the day, and I think you said it well, our real opportunity in this earth is to be Jesus to the people around us.
Yeah.
And if we can't be in control of those goals and the time that God has given us and have good stewardship of every minute, kind of leaving some of that at on the table. We're not being everything we could be.
Absolutely. And I just give everybody a fun challenge. I say fun, maybe not fun, but it's certainly revealing. If you want to know where you're investing your time, and you'll find where your values are, that's where you'll invest, be it in your finances or your time. Just do the simple thing of break your day 2 weeks, every hour, one word, what I was doing. So if it was like from 10 or 11 p.m. to 6 a.m., I draw a line and say sleep, you know, whatever that is. One word that just says maybe phone, meeting, work. If you looked at that, you did an inventory for a week. Maybe that's asking too much. 2 weeks, you will find out where you're investing that time. It's a you don't have to share it with anybody unless you want to, but it's a good tool to find out what's in my checkbook. What am I writing checks for? And then you can start to look at it, because kind of putting into this, like if I buy one frothy drink at Scooters that's $6 or at Rockin' Joe's or something, if I do that one time a week, that's one thing. If I do it every day, I've just invested a ton of money in coffee. And if I don't check that at the end of the month, I'm like, wow, where did $300 go?
Right.
So with our time, if you just take an inventory, where am I spending it? And then you can start to set some goals of this is where I'd rather spend it. Build in some of that relaxation time.
For sure.
Holy smokes.
For sure.
But the investment time is huge. So I don't know. See if anybody takes up the challenge. If you want to share, I'd love to hear from you. But,
amen to that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna end with the quote we started with, just because I think it's a valuable way to put a bookend on this episode. And then we'll go to God in some prayer here. The quote is, "My history and my legacy will be made up of a lifetime of today's. So what am I doing with it?" Father God, wow, it's a little bit of a deep topic today. It's a topic I think it's very easy for so many to struggle with. The cool part about us as your created, we know we have full authority and full autonomy to make all the choices every day that we want to make. And ultimately, Lord, we know that we only get to spend each one of those minutes one time, and then it's gone. And Lord, today as we've dug in, I think there's opportunities for each and every one of us to lean in and to listen more closely to you, to find some space in our world, to have some silence so that you can speak into us what you're calling us to, maybe what goals really should be in our lives, that you would help us find those times of Sabbath so we can be recharged. Lord, that you can help us into those times of slowing, so that we can literally smell the roses. But ultimately, Lord, we know that when we find a healthy balance, our heart is more healthy, our faith grows deeper, and we have the opportunity to be more about sharing Jesus with the world around us because we're healthy and available to do that, Lord. And so for our listeners today, I just pray that you would work in our hearts that next step in motivation. Let us start somewhere. And maybe it just starts with 5 extra minutes with you in the morning to be about talking to you and listening to you and being quiet with you. So Lord, that you can tap us on the shoulder and we can be everything that you want for us as your children on this earth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. John, Amen. Thank you so much for being on the show today. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you. I enjoyed it too.
To our listeners, we want to challenge you to start living.
Thank you for tuning in to Stop Chasing, Start Living. This has been a production of Messiah Lutheran Ministries. Make sure you subscribe to Messiah Lutheran on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen so you never miss an episode. Want to learn more about Messiah Ministries? Visit us at messiah.us. Our goal is to be a resource to you as you grow in your relationship with Christ and in your generosity. If you would like to connect with Scott, please send an email to scott.ernstmeyer@messiah.us. Thanks again for listening. Now let's start living.